What is up, Goal Line listeners? We are back with a special draft day edition of the Goal Line. We're going to be talking about this week's NFL draft, as well as taking a look at the 2024 prospects for the Tennessee Titans and the New York Jets. But before we get into all that, let me introduce my best friend, my co-host, Jordan. What's going on, man?
Man, this is an exciting week for football fans, dude. It's just this kind of signals the beginning of the NFL season to me. Like, you hit the draft, then they got the schedule release in a couple weeks, and then by then it's training camp time. Like, it is upon us, my friends. And I love college football, so this is always an exciting week for me. I consume all the draft that I can. I watch almost all of it, so very exciting for this week.
Where's the draft at this year?
Detroit.
Okay, that's cool, man. That Detroit's having a big year. You know, they had SummerSlam last year. The Lions had probably their best season in the last 60 years, and now they're getting the draft.
Yeah, and they had SmackDown after WrestleMania. What a year for the Lions.
Motor City's on the comeback, man. All right, you ready to get into it, man?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, we're going to start this one with a topic that is near and dear to me and Seth. Matt Ryan officially announced his retirement today, signed a one-day deal with the Falcons to retire a Falcon. They did a photo shoot and stuff, and they tweeted out a video, put it on Instagram, whatever you want to watch it on. Pretty incredible, man. I got pretty emotional watching it. Just, I mean, the Falcons will never have a better quarterback than Matt Ryan. It's just, he's probably one of the most underrated guys, possibly, definitely of his era, possibly of all time. He put the city of Atlanta on his back, man. And honestly, he changed the way people look at rookie quarterbacks, because he came out of the gates and was just, they went to the playoffs immediately his first year. So it completely changed the way everybody looked at rookie quarterbacks. So yeah, one time for number two.
Yeah, I mean, dude, aside from him, like, Big Ben Roethlisberger did it his rookie year, but before that, it was kind of standard that guys would come in and set one, sometimes two, or, you know, in the case of Aaron Rodgers, three seasons before they would be the starter. You really had, even the guys that were top of the draft had kind of like an extended apprenticeship before they'd get on the field.
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy, man. And even when they did it, I was kind of like shocked that they were doing it. I mean, the Falcons were in a full reset at that point. And it just so happened they got Michael Turner and Matt Ryan the same year, and it just worked out. But, yeah, it's I mean, he hasn't been on the Falcons in 2 years, but it's still kind of a sad day just kind of watching him do his thing and retire and everything and see how much his kids have grown and everything like that. It's just – I mean, dude, Matt Ryan was huge for the city of Atlanta, even if you're not talking football. Like, he was really big in the community.
Yeah, ton of stuff off field. And he was kind of quiet about it also, man. You know, he didn't – not that – you know, it's anything wrong with guys that do seek to, you know, put a spotlight on the stuff they're doing. But it seemed like he was always very quiet. All the money and time and support he was pouring into different initiatives there in Georgia.
Yeah, he was definitely one of a kind. Definitely going to miss him. His jersey has got to be retired in Atlanta. Like, there is no way it's not.
I think he's best. You know, you said he was best quarterback. I think he's the best player in Falcons history, man. You know, Dion and Michael Vick were both absolutely spectacular, but they were there for just really kind of a flash in the pan in the grand scheme of things, man. I think Matt Ryan's got it for best Falcon ever.
To me, it's between him, Julio, and probably Jesse Tuggle, or Borkowski was way before me, so I didn't really get a chance to watch him play. But to me, like, that's the three that always come up in my mind when I think greatest Falcon.
Julio was great too, man. A lot of, you know, this is not a knock, dude. Again, like, I think it's, you can't really criticize anybody if they want to say Julio was the best. A lot of time he was unavailable, though. Yep. You know what I mean? He had a lot of missed games over the years. I think that's why, and he's so intertwined with Matt Ryan also, man. That's why I think Matt Ryan gets it over Julio by just a slim margin. But dude was just a tremendous player, man. Like I said, I know that there's a belief out there, kind of like a narrative, that he's just a stats guy, right? Like, he's just a stats accumulator. Dude, if you actually watch the Falcons games, there were so many years where, you know, even the Falcons may ended up with a mediocre record. And if it wasn't for Matt Ryan, they would have been worst team in the league. You know, like he straight up drugged some of those teams to basically every bit of success that they did have. And then, you know, every year, every time he had a defense that he didn't even have to have the best defense in the league, like guys like Brady had, if he had a half decent defense, the Falcons were going on a run in the playoffs.
Yeah. They definitely had some stinkers in the playoffs and it wasn't all on him, but yeah, he's one of a kind. And I mean, he's 2016 MVP, went to the Super Bowl, had one of the best games ever for a quarterback in the Super Bowl. Granted, they lost, whatever. We're not going to dwell on that. But
I think he had the best playoff run ever, man. If you look at if you look at some of the advanced metrics, that 2016 season, the regular season by itself, but especially when you include the playoffs, it's in the mix for the absolute best statistical performance a QB has ever put up, man. And I know people want to just say, oh, rings are what matters, not stats. But if you're really comparing guys, man, stats are what you go off of. That's the measurable that you look at, man. And yeah, the 28-3, obviously he's owned that. That's definitely a part of his legacy for better or worse. But, you know, if he makes one more play, maybe they win. But if it's not for him, they're never even close to being in that position in the first place.
I think one thing that goes under the radar about him too, and me and you have talked about this at length. I don't know how much we've talked about it on Goal Line, but we had on previous shows. He almost drug that 2017 team back to the Super Bowl.
Yes,
like,
dude,
the Super Bowl hangover is real. Look what happened to the Eagles this year. Like that shit's real. When you lose, like you usually don't go back. He beat the Rams, and that team was playing incredible football at that point, and then almost beat the Eagles, who ended up winning the Super Bowl, and they should have beat the Eagles, honestly.
Yeah, Eagles had a fluke play that won them that game, man, against the Falcons in the second round. And then they would have been playing Case Keenum in the NFC Championship, man. We definitely got robbed of a rematch of Falcons-Patriots in Super Bowl 52.
Yeah, it's it definitely should not go unnoticed what he did. The other thing too is he had to restart a lot with offensive coordinators. Like,
yeah,
I can't even think of who his longest offensive coordinator was, because it seriously seemed like every offensive coordinator they had either sucked so bad that they had to fire him. Dirk Cutter obviously was fucking miserable.
Yeah.
They had Shanahan, who got a head coaching job. Then the next year they had idiot drunk Steve Sarkisian. He had him.
I thought Dirk Cutter was pretty good. And he was the coordinator for 2012, that year the Falcons went to the NFC Championship, man. I thought Cutter was all right. Kind of fell off the reins after that.
The only problem with him is like if the game got tight, it seemed like he changed his play calling way too much. Like, they had too many playmakers for you to completely go away from what worked to get you to that point. That was the only thing I really didn't like about him.
He had Mike Mularkey the first 4 years, which that was solid, if unspectacular, which that's probably Mike Mularkey in a nutshell as a coach. And then, him and Kyle Shanahan made magic together. And after Sarkisian, I haven't really kept up with it after, you know, Sarkisian was there those two seasons.
Yeah, it's I wasn't sure how much we were going to talk about him, but I just think he deserves his flowers and for everything that he did. Granted, I am a Falcons fan, so I'm biased on what he did. But, I mean, they were talking about it on Twitter today, and almost anybody with a brain was like, this dude is going into the Hall of Fame. Like,
yeah, he definitely should. I think ultimately, man, where he falls out at, dude, I think he is number two behind Dan Marino for the greatest quarterback ever to not get a ring.
Yeah, it's – because he's better. There's no way that someone's going to convince me that Phillip Rivers is better than Matt Ryan. Like,
no, Phillip Rivers is he's a stats guy all the way, dude. I don't feel like Phillip Rivers ever elevated teams, dude. He had, you know, I give Phillip Rivers props for that 2007 team that, you know, went into the AFC he played in the AFC Championship against the Patriots on a torn ACL. That's awesome, dude. But if you just watch the games, man, the stuff Phillip Rivers was doing wasn't anything close to Matt Ryan, man. I take Matt Ryan 9 times out of 10 over Phillip Rivers.
I take him 10 times out of 10. Yeah, it's going to be weird to – I mean, we're just getting out of this generation, like a lot of the quarterbacks that me and you were watching in our mid-20s and early 30s are – almost all of them are gone now. It's just – weird time,
man. That's crazy, dude. You look up, man. Like, I need to, as soon as Aaron Rodgers hangs it up, Patrick Mahomes is damn near going to be the freaking elder statesman of quarterbacks, man.
Yeah. God, that's insane.
I know. And who knows what A-Rod's really got left. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, dude, it is, we've rapidly aged out of that, you know, the Brady, Breeze, Manning era, man. And, you know, the guys that came in right after him, you know, with the Matt Ryans and the Matt Staffords, man. So,
Stafford's the elder statesman still.
Yeah. He's probably got another couple of years left in him, man.
But yeah,
one Kirk Cousins. It feels like Kirk Cousins hasn't been around that long, dude, just because he, you know, didn't come in as the high draft pick. But, dude, Kirk Cousins, this will be his 13th year in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he got drafted in the same draft class as RG3, and look how long he's been out of the league.
Yeah, we're going on and on about Matt Ryan, you know, and being a Falcons legend. Kirk Cousins was only 4 seasons after Matt Ryan. That's not a long time at all,
that's dude. Insane. And now the Falcons are starting over with that quarterback. Yeah. Like, pretty insane, man.
Yeah, he's definitely a little bit low mileage for a guy because, you know, really his – his first 2 years, he didn't play a ton, or he was on and off the field a lot. But yeah, Kirk Cousins, he definitely knows spring chicken himself.
Yeah. But yeah, I just definitely wanted to give Matt Ryan his flowers and just kind of discuss him a little bit and what he meant to me and you. So,
yeah, man. But yeah, swig a beer for Matty Ice.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to a trade that happened today.
Let's go.
Seth's man crush, Zach Wilson, is now on the Broncos. Dude, that draft class is going to go down as the most disappointing draft class of all time. The only person in that first round that's still on the same team is Trevor Lawrence. That is insane.
The story's not over yet, man. That's all I'll say, dude. The story is not over yet. I'll say this. I think the entire multiverse of possibilities are out there, dude. I could see Zach Wilson hooking up with Sean Payton and having a straight up resurgence and, you know, leading them to a wild card playoff berth this year. And I could see him getting cut 2 weeks into training camp, man. I think both of those are totally on the table along with everything in between, dude. He definitely owns a lot of it because he made a lot of boneheaded mistakes on the field. But as far as investing, you know, that high of a draft pick in a quarterback, I think the Jets did about as poor a job as you could do. Just, you know, supporting and surrounding him and creating an environment where he's ready to be successful. I think they definitely let him down on that front. So I'm interested to see what he did, man. I've seen enough flashes out of him that I haven't totally given up hope that he's going to turn into something. But like I said, I also would not surprise me one bit if he's just unceremoniously dumped a couple weeks into to training camp.
I sent you that meme today. It was a picture of Russell Wilson with an upgrade over the enter key on the keyboard. And then there's a picture of Zach Wilson. And the next thing says, please go the fuck back. I'm not as much of a believer in Zach Wilson as you are. I just have seen way too much evidence of like who he is as a quarterback. I mean, dude, he on the Jets this last season, he had every chance to just take the reins and just show everybody how good of a quarterback he was. Dude, that offense was loaded to the gills. I mean, having Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and all those guys, like, I don't know, man. I mean, their offensive line was dog shit. I get it. But what are you going to in Denver? Like, the cupboard ain't exactly full in Denver right now.
Yeah. I put a lot of it on coaching, man, because it's not like anybody else went in for the Jets and like straight up lit it up either, you know. And we saw Aaron Rodgers last at all of 4 plays. You're right, the skill position players were great. That O-line was garbage, and I don't think the play calling was doing anything either to increase success. So
good news for Zach Wilson is he gets to go play for Adderall Boy now, so he should be doing good things now.
I mean if I'm a betting man, dude, I'd say, do you think over under, man, does Zach Wilson throw more than one touchdown pass in the 2024 season?
I mean, who is their other quarterback right now?
Well, you know, they've been linked to, McCarthy from Michigan, that's the guy that they want to go get. It seems like his stock is going up. They may end up getting priced out of that market, but
yeah,
what you're betting on is this guy going to start multiple games, dude, for the Broncos? Gun to my head, I'd take the under, dude. I'd say he throws less than one touchdown pass this season.
I'll say over. I think they made the trade with the assumption that he's going to have to play a couple games. So I'm going to say he at least throws one touchdown.
All right.
Let's do the team breakdowns, and then we'll do draft last.
All right, let's hit it. We got two teams we're looking at this week, the aforementioned Jets and the Tennessee Titans. Who you want to do first, Jordan?
Let's start with the Jets.
All right. So the Jets last year, you know, me and Jordan were pulling the research on this right before we went on the air. Surprisingly, dude, went 7-10. If you asked me off the top of my head what their record was, I probably would have picked two or three wins less than that because it just seemed like such a nightmare of a season. Finished 32nd in offensive DVOA. So they were the worst offense in the league. Number three defense, man, which that's interesting. I don't think they were quite that good. I think they probably benefited from being in so many games where the other team knew that they absolutely did not have to, you know, put up that many points and would kind of just go into protect mode over the second half. But their defense was really, really good, man. Had some really strong performances. I think about, you know, them being the first team to beat the Eagles last season. 26th in point differential, so they lost a lot of ugly ones. They went 4-4 in one score game, so not really a lot to latch onto there. Let's go to the quarterback, man. Aaron Rodgers, obviously one of the biggest quarterback moves in recent history after being the Packers franchise for damn near 20 years. Gets traded to the Jets in the offseason, has all the hype, has a super emotional, you know, Hulk Hogan WrestleMania entrance to start the season, running out, carrying the American flag on September 11th, and tears his ACL on the, you know, the fourth snap. What do you think we're going to get from an aging Aaron Rodgers coming back from a torn Achilles, not torn ACL, aging Aaron Rodgers coming back off a torn Achilles this season?
I don't know what this guy can give you at this point in his career. I mean, I already had my doubts before he even tore his Achilles, but coming off that as well. I mean, dude, Aaron Rodgers is a gamer. That's one thing I'll say about him. Like when it comes down to the end, there's a lot of worse quarterbacks than Aaron Rodgers you could have.
Yeah.
I think he'll be good enough. I mean, dude, they don't even need him to be like MVP Rodgers. They just need him to be halfway decent. I mean, he doesn't even need to be All-American Aaron Rodgers. He just needs to be halfway decent. I think he's middle of the pack for quarterbacks this coming season. I don't think he's going to put up a top 10 season, but that's really all they need him to be, is middle of the pack, because there's nowhere to go but up for their offense.
Yeah, and the division's very winnable, man. Like, the Bills are in not a rebuild, but a little bit of a regroup stage. Dolphins are kind of holding steady what they had last season for the most part. And then the Patriots are in full tear it down mode right now. So I do think they could totally be back in the mix for the division. Head coach Robert Saleh, you know, he survived. I think there was, you know, I don't think anybody would have thought it was the craziest thing in the world if they moved on after last season, but he's, you know, he must be pretty solid there in the organization because they hung on to him. What do you see overall, man, for the Jets' chances in 2024?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. The division's easily winnable, so I could definitely see them winning that division just based on whoever the other teams that are in it. I'm going to say I still don't think they're going to win a ton of games, though, is a problem. I'll say they win 9 games.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you, man. I think 9, possibly flirting with 10 wins. The Jets are another franchise that just have heartbreak and despair baked into the very fabric of the organization. And I see them fighting for, you know, either the division or one of those last wild card spots and getting their heart broke in week 18 next year.
Yeah, it would not surprise me at all. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how everything shakes out with the Jets.
All right, let's head about 3.5 hours up I-40 East from me right now to Nashville, Tennessee Titans. So they had a weird year. You know, I don't think they ever had the same starting quarterback for more than 3 weeks in a row. Ended up going 6-11, 25th in offensive DVOA, 18th in defensive DVOA, 28th in point differential, because there were some absolutely dog shit ugly games that the Titans lost. They went 2-5 in one score game. So, you know, you could see a little bit of a swing there just on natural, you know, the little bit of luck balancing out. Quarterback Will Levis and a brand new head coach, Brian Callahan. Titans made a lot of big moves this offseason, got Calvin Ridley. They traded and got Darius Sneed from the Chiefs, man. So they're making moves. They spent a lot of money. They finally had those huge contracts of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill go off the book. So they've been grabbing some free agents. I think they're ripe to get right back in the mix for the division. As long as Will Levis builds on some of those flashes that he showed last season and, you know, levels up this next year.
Yeah. they're a weird team, man. They are. They're just in a weird spot right now. It was weird to see them make all these splash moves just because of what we watched and play out everything last season. I mean, you're kind of all in on Will Levis now. Like, I think getting Calvin Ridley and a new coaching staff and all that stuff, like, I mean, for at least this season, you're all in on Levis. I don't think Malik Willis ever materializes into anything. No. That's pretty much, it's just over there. But they have a good team, man. They have a good base, but the biggest problem for them is O-line. They could not protect the quarterback to save their life last year.
Yeah. That O-line took years off of Ryan Tannehill's career, dude. Like, you know, you saw that week 18 game where they knocked the Jaguars out of the playoffs, dude. Tannehill could still play if you give him a shot, dude, but he was basically staring at a team picture most of the time when he dropped back to pass. And unfortunately he just didn't got the mobility like he used to be able to overcome that.
The good thing is though, they got Bill Callahan to coach the offensive line, and he is the best offensive line coach in football. So that'll help. I'm assuming they're going to draft a tackle with their top pick. Like,
yeah,
I mean, they got to, like, what else are you drafting at this point?
Yeah. There is some, you know, a lot of pressure on the team, the coaching staff, from ownership. They got that brand new, super nice, expensive ass stadium opening up in a couple years. And there's, you know, a mandate up above to put, you know, an exciting, winning brand of football on the field. You know, the Titans have generally been a winner over the last, you know, 5-6 years, but it hasn't really been exciting, dude. They like to get into rock fights with other teams and just freaking duke it out, you know, win 18-16 in ugly games like that. So I think they want to put something really appealing, more in line with the modern NFL, to start, you know, being able to sling some of those super expensive seat licenses and season tickets before that new stadium's ready to open up.
Yeah, they definitely got to swing for the fences these next couple of years. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Titans do.
Kind of similar to the Jets, I see these guys ultimately being a fringe playoff contender this season. I do think they'll be improved from last year, but not tremendously. I think they're going to kind of be, you know, they're right in the mix of going into week 18 and then just, you know, see where the chips fall. It wouldn't shock me to see them make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be a slam dunk. I think they're going to have to battle it out till the, you know, the last play of the season to get in.
Their defense is going to be the key, man. They got to be able to keep people from going down the field so easily. That's going to be the key to their success. And obviously the growth of Will Levis, like, what does he give you this year that he didn't give you this past year? Again, keep him upright, and I think the guy can shine, but that's their thing, man. Protect the quarterback. That's the biggest thing in the NFL, man. It seems like the easiest thing, but it's not. It's harder than people think, so.
Oh, yeah. They had some great performances last year. You remember that Monday night game against the Dolphins where they came back from two scores down in the closing minutes. You know, week 18, they knocked their rival Jacksonville Jaguars out of the playoffs when the Titans had nothing to play for and the Jaguars had everything to play for. I was in the house for that one, Derrick Henry's last game. And then who could forget when Will Levis, his debut game, and he just rained hell down upon the Falcons.
Yeah, thanks for fucking reminding me of that. I mean,
DeAndre Hopkins flashback to like 2013 for one day.
You know what the good thing, though, is that game plus a few others ended up costing Arthur Smith his job, so I'm not going to shed any tears over it. Probably did us a favor, honestly. But yeah, it's going to be weird, man. I'm not looking forward to watching the Titans without King Henry, but I will say I also, on the same hand, am really looking forward to watching the Ravens with King Henry. So it's going to be interesting, man.
Yeah, the Titans. I mean, so much of their identity as a team and a franchise over the last, you know, damn near decade at this point has been built around Derrick Henry and his playing style and just the force of nature that he is. So yeah, it's huge not having him on the field anymore.
Did you say it already? Or am I just imagining that they brought in a running back? Did they bring in a veteran running
back?
Didn't
they sign? I thought they not sign Tony Pollard?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right. That is who it was. I just couldn't remember, man. This offseason has felt like it's been 18 months already.
Yeah. They signed Tony Pollard and then they still got Tajay Spears who showed a lot of flash last year. So Derrick Henry is still outstanding. As far as actual on-field production, I don't think it's going to be a huge drop-off. I think the drop-off is just going to be just on the way defenses approach you. Because I feel like when Henry's on the field, he's one of those guys, kind of like Michael Vick in his prime, that the defense is starting off back on their heels. You know, he strikes fear in the heart of defenders if you're looking across the line at number 22.
I agree. That's going to be one of the things is they were built on a power run game with Derrick Henry, and their entire team was built around that, which
– yeah.
I mean, I think they're going to run the ball, but, like, dude, Tony Pollard is a far stretch from King Henry. Like,
yeah, it's not the same at all, man. It's just, you know, Derrick Henry's special, dude. He's a freak. He's one of those, you know, six or seven guys in the league that when he's on the field, all, you know, all eyes of the defenders are watching him to make sure he's not getting the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Titans fans are in for some interesting few years here, I feel like, but again, the only problem is, dude, you got the Texans in your division. Like, that's not good.
They're loaded up. Yeah. You're really banking on a sophomore slump out of the Texans, because on paper, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks back when we were just talking about who won the offseason, man. Texans got a good shot at grabbing the number one seed in the AFC if they can handle their business.
Yeah, and you just never know what you're going to get out of the Jaguars either. I mean, that's still a good team. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, man.
And the Colts, too. You know, the Colts were a damn tough team last season, and they're, you know,
and they're getting Richardson back,
is what we think he's supposed to be, they're going to be improved. So, yeah, it is going to be a tough division, but the Titans always seem to play, you know, they've always seemed to compete good with the other AFC South teams. So I think that's actually going to be a sneaky, fun division to watch this season.
Yeah.
Ready to do some draft talk?
Well, let's predict what we think the Titans are going to do record-wise.
I say they go 9-8, man. I think the most Titans thing possible would be for them to go 9-8 and just miss out on the playoffs.
I think they go 8-9. I just, what'd they go last year? 7-10?
No, they were 6-11 last year, but they 2-5 in one score games. So
yeah, I'll stick with 8. I think they win 8 games.
Yeah, I think they're going to be right around there, dude. If they can get lucky on some of the close ones, man, then, you know, I definitely think that they, you know, they could sneak in the playoffs easily. But if I had to lay money on it right now, I'd say they probably come up just short.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, let's hit the draft. All right, so as mentioned earlier, Jordan is way more up on all things college football than I am, so he's going to kind of be running point on this segment, but we'll run through some of the big stories heading into this week's NFL draft.
So I think the biggest story around this draft, honestly, is how many quarterbacks end up going in the top 10. There's three guaranteed that are going to go in the top 10. Caleb Williams, it's no secret, he's going number one to the Bears. That they have not hidden it at all. Like, they've been called about the first pick. They're turning every trade down. They're taking him first overall. I think Drake May is safely the second quarterback taken. Jaden Daniels, third quarterback taken. I could flip-flop those two guys, but I think that's the safe first three picks of the draft. There was a rumor that I read today, though, that was talking about the Patriots were pretty high on J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
Let me be the first to say, if someone takes J.J. McCarthy in the top five, they're making a mistake.
I agree, man. The couple of Michigan games I saw, like, he was solid. Like, he struck me as, you know, a good college quarterback. I didn't see, like, you know, first-round NFL prospect out of him, at least not, like, a high first-round NFL prospect out of him.
That offense was good, but they were good because they could hammer the ball, and their offensive line gave him 4.5 hours to throw the ball. Like,
yeah, they had an NFL offensive line, man.
I mean, his stats are nothing to, like, sneeze at. I mean, he threw for 3,000 yards, rushed for 202, 25 touchdowns against 4 picks. I mean, it's not like he had a bad season, but then, like, you go up to Caleb Williams, 3,600 yards, 121 yards rushing, 41 touchdowns to 5 picks. Like, that seems more like a top 5 pick to me.
And just the eyeball test, man. Caleb Wilson just looked like a much more explosive athlete. Like, yeah, I don't know. I think McCarthy's a good QB, but I think he definitely benefited from the talent around him and the coaching. I mean, he had, you know, 1A and 1B best coach in college football with Jim Harbaugh, along with, you know, aside from Nick Saban. So I think he had had a lot of stuff going in his favor to help him out. Whereas a lot of times, you know, felt like Caleb Williams was carrying that thing out in USC.
I do think somebody does trade up into the top 10 to get JJ McCarthy, no matter what, though. I think somebody's going to take him in the top 10. I don't think it's the right call, but I think somebody's going to do it. And this is a win now league. Like, if you have a chance to win, you got to go for it. Got a chance to get a quarterback. I just pulled up just like a random mock just because I wanted to see what they had going on. There's a ton of trades in this one, which I don't know if there's going to be this many trades, but I mean, anything's possible, I guess. But this one has JJ McCarthy going third overall, Drake May 2, and then the Cardinals trading back with the Giants and Jaden Daniels going fourth overall to the Giants. That is a trade I 100% could see happening.
I do not want that for Jaden Daniels, dude. I don't know if it's just I don't know if it's just because the brand of football the Giants have put on the field for the last 15 years, man. I don't see Jaden. I could see Jaden Daniels being really good in the NFL. I just cannot picture it in a Giants jersey for the life of me, man.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Brian Daboll is a great coach, dude. So I could totally be just way off on this, man. But I just feel like it just doesn't seem like a fit to me, man, in my mind's eye.
Yeah. The first non-quarterback that's going to get taken is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think that's even a remote stretch, honestly, at this point.
Yeah.
Then you got that Joe Alt offensive tackle from Notre Dame. That's who, if I'm the Titans, I would 100% be targeting him. That should be who they're after. This draft has the Titans taking a wide receiver, which would be the dumbest fucking thing the Titans could do right now.
Yeah, I mean, they had a decent little wide receiver core last year, and then they added Calvin Ridley to it. Like,
they just drafted Treylon Burks in the first round 2 years ago. Like, dude,
yeah, and he's been good when he's healthy. I kind of agree with you, man. I don't think that they have, like, you know, a top five wide receiver core by any means, but I feel like on the list of their wide receivers are definitely good enough to get it done right now. I think there's other spots I'd rather see them invest in.
Yeah. Pick 8 is the Falcons on this one. It's got them trading with the Vikings, so I'm assuming the Vikings would be giving up their 11th pick and probably a second round pick. It's got the Vikings taking Michael Penix out of Washington. Dude, I think this draft is going to be insane because there's so many quarterback needy teams that I feel like someone's going to pay the ultimate price to move up and get a quarterback. So I think it's going to be interesting, man. There's three really good receivers. There's the really good tackle, but there is a shit ton of good defensive players in this draft. Like, a lot of these guys are going to fall far just because people are so – everybody – this is an offensive league now. Like, offenses win games. I mean, that's just kind of where we're at in the course of the NFL. So everybody tries to reach for offensive players. So I think teams that need defensive help are going to do well in this draft. Falcons are 100% one of those teams that need all the defensive help they can get. So hopefully somebody good drops to them and they actually make a good pick. So I'm excited though, man. This is a really fun week for me. Like I said, I love college football. So I think it's going to be really exciting. The other thing is, I think depending on if somebody does trade up into the top 10 for Penix, if they don't, I think somebody trades back into the first round to take a quarterback at the end of the first round. I don't know who it's going to be, but Bo Nix is out there. So somebody's going to trade back into the first round. I feel like somebody's going to pick twice in the first round. That's not slated to right now.
Somebody's going to fire up the Inspector Gadget arms and reach and take Joe Milton, dude, just off of that strong arm that he has. There's some offense coordinator out there that's already licking their chops saying, you know, I can fix this guy, dude. Just give me somebody that can throw the ball 80 yards and we'll figure out the rest.
See, now that one I could see, but the only problem is, dude, Hendon Hooker, I know he was coming off an injury, but I felt like he was the best quarterback prospect out of Tennessee in a while. And
he was, yeah, he was definitely the better QB. I mean, he beat out Milton, but dude, he don't got the Milton's a freak physically, man. Like, if you look on field, Hendon Hooker is probably twice as good as Joe Milton, dude. Like, if my life's on the line, I got to have somebody win. I'm picking Hendon Hooker every time over Joe Milton, but Joe Milton does have, he may have like the strongest arm I've ever seen, dude. Like, it's ridiculous the way this guy launches that freaking football, man. And we know, dude, there's still, even though I think at this point, man, people should know, like, arm strength really is slightly overvalued. I think there's still some coaches that are like, just give me that physical tool and we'll figure out how to make it work on the field for us.
Jamarcus Russell still has the biggest cannon I've ever seen on a quarterback. That dude could throw it like 70 yards from his knees. But
yeah,
again, arm strength isn't everything, man. You got to be able to have it upstairs too. So it's going to be interesting. I feel like this is going to be a fun draft to watch. I know a lot of people love watching the draft. I don't think you're one of them, but I'm very much into this. And I think you should be too, honestly, dude. The Titans with a top 10 pick is at least interesting, if nothing else.
Yeah, I did. It was really kind of once I had kids, man, I stopped getting into it. I used to be at all three days of the draft. I'd watch the whole thing because, dude, every couple minutes, especially when they went to the new time frame where it was shorter, shorter time between picks, you're getting awesome highlight reels, man. I love seeing about the guys that, like, you know, I've never even heard of before. And then you see these crazy highlight reels and you're like, all right, let me earmark this guy away. It's possibly like a deep sleeper for fantasy or something in case they blow up. So yeah, it is good content, dude. Like, if you love football, this is right there with, you know, the playoffs for some of the most fun or just most enjoyable viewing that you can have all season long.
Yeah, I'm very excited. But yeah, that's really all we need to talk about for the draft. I feel like we've kind of touched on everything these last couple of weeks, but I at least wanted to put it down on paper what we were talking about. But yeah, I feel like we're good.
All right, you ready to get some listener mail?
Let's do it.
All right, so we got a few questions here. So Zach Hurster says, do you think we'll see any crazy trades during the draft? I think the two names to watch out for are T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk. I think of the two, I think it's much more likely we see T. Higgins traded. I feel like the Bengals have just traditionally been more comfortable moving on with guys. And I think Ayuk is much more important to what the Niners are doing than T. Higgins is to what the Bengals are doing. T. Higgins is great, but Brandon Ayuk is possibly the best route runner in the NFL. And when you got a QB, like the Niners, who's not necessarily the most physically gifted, having a really, really skilled route runner like that is just super important for a guy like Brock Purdy. So I think T. Higgins is probably the name to watch out on for big names getting moved during the draft.
I think as far as like big trades go, I think the Patriots are the spot for everyone to look at. I don't think that team is just a quarterback away from being good. So I would look at them to possibly trade out of three and maybe stockpile some picks for next year. But yeah, as far as like player trades go, I think that's the only two that really have even been discussed. And I really don't think either one of those guys gets traded, honestly.
Yeah. Sam Rosenthal, he asked boldest predictions for the draft. We kind of already talked about that. He also says, do you watch every single round? So, Jordan, will you be watching all seven rounds this weekend?
I will. I will not miss a round. Every once in a while, I'll get up and go do something else. And there's NBA playoffs off on this weekend. So I'll be flipping back and forth. But, I mean, I'll watch every round at some point in the round.
Speaking of which, dude, I meant to bring that up, dude. Let's you brought up NBA playoffs. Let's make a finals prediction, man. I say Nuggets get it done and beat the Celtics, man. I know Celtics have been a historically great regular season team this year, but I feel like when it gets to nut cutting time, they're going to come up just short and Jokic is just too damn good and ends up taking them down in the finals.
Dude, the Nuggets, that team is, they lost so much from last year as far as like their bench unit went. And everybody just assumed it was going to be the fall off. Dude, I don't think that team is ever going to be bad as long as they got Jokic. That dude is just – he defies logic, honestly.
They're the closest thing we've seen to, like, the Duncan Spurs. You know what I mean? Where it's just – it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but they're just – they're going to make this – they're going to play super smart and like clockwork. They are just going to straight up outscore you, man. They're going to – it's going to be unspectacular, but you look up and Jokic has got, 30 points and 16 rebounds along with 7 or 8 assists, man. Dude, just such a tremendous passer, and he just unlocks so much for that team. So, yeah, I'm going Nuggets over Celtics, man, for my finals pick. How about you?
Sadly, I actually went with the same thing before the playoffs even started. I said Nuggets over Celtics in six. I feel like they're the best two teams in the league. Someone could get hot and take out the Celtics. I think the Nuggets are going to the finals no matter who they play, honestly. Like, there's nobody in the West that I can see beating them in seven games. I just don't see it.
Yeah, agreed. I think the Nuggets are definitely coming out of the West. Who do you think is the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East, man? Do we think the Bucks, if Giannis can come back something close to 100%?
Yeah, because, I mean, I thought it was going to be the 76ers, but I think Embiid is banged up way more than they let on.
He's not looked like Embiid since he's come back.
So I would probably say the Bucks just because they got Dame and Giannis. I mean, those two guys can just take over a series by themselves. But
yeah,
I mean, dude, I could see the Celtics losing though. Like they've been known to have a choke after they've had such a good regular season. And I mean, they still have not proven anything since they've had Tatum. Like, what have they proven over the past 6 years, 7 years, however long he's been in the league? Like,
they give the vibe of a team that's not the mentally toughest. Like, that's kind of, you know, year after year, that's kind of what they seem like. I mean, they had the Warriors dead to rights that year. They made it to the, you know, the finals against the Warriors. They didn't last year getting beat by the 8-seed Heat. After you come back and force the game 7, like, yeah, I feel like they're definitely a team that's going to let you down more times than not, it seems like.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, and last but not least, we had the lovely Ari, Jordan's wife. She said, we need an update on what you guys think of Taylor Swift's new Tortured Poet Department's album. I've only given it one listen through. So far, I haven't really been able to really, like, get deep into it. I think it's a good album. I don't think it's going down as one of her, like, 3 or 4 best. I just think it's just another good addition to the discography, man. Have you listened to it yet, Jordan?
Okay, so I've obviously heard a couple of songs because Zoe and Ari have listened to it so much, and I don't know, it's been on the radio a lot.
Yeah, you can't get away from it, dude.
It just sounds like a sad album to me. Maybe I'm off on this. It's
a breakup album.
This kind of just seems like her album where she's just kind of letting everything off her chest that's happened to her. Because, like, dude, usually you associate Taylor Swift with, like, those, like, happy vibes kind of songs.
Shake It Off, stuff like
that. This is definitely not that.
No. Yeah, it's definitely a good breakup album. So if you're going through it right now, it's a good one to vibe to. But I rank it as one of her good ones, not one of her great ones off my initial listen. So that is it for the pre-draft episode of The Goal Line. Jordan, man, hit us with some closing thoughts and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, enjoy some NBA playoffs, some NHL playoffs, and some NFL draft this week. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks.